On this page are descriptions taken from the official literature and downloaded from teaching websites associated with two very popular forms of monologistic prayer, widely known and taught in the United States in particular. The first, centering prayer, associated with the Trappist monks, Fathers Menninger, Keating, and Pennington, and the second, the Christian meditation practice of Fathers John Main and Lawrence Freeman, two Benedictine monks. These methods of meditation are different from one another, and as we will see, different from the forms of monologistic prayer that we have been considering in detail, both in the ancient world, especially as described by John Cassian, and then by some of the early monks who are regarded as precursors of the hesychastic tradition, and of course the later hesychasts themselves. And I'd like for us to be aware of the relationship between and the differences between the different kinds of prayer that we will be looking at, these two principal meditation methods, and the forms that have come before. This is because in a course on monastic spirituality, and one which has emphasized the historical development of traditions, I think we are obliged to be rigorously honest about matters which sometimes we are tempted to be a little sloppy about. Sometimes we will claim that something is the same as, or very closely related to something else, when in fact it's really quite different from that other thing. Let me also immediately say that although I will be offering some critiques of both the centering prayer and the Christian meditation tradition, I practice them both and have in fact contributed to some of the literature. I worked with Father Basil Pennington, and we share a book in which I attempted to suggest the possible use of Lectio Divina by those who were already experienced in centering prayer, and indeed in teaching and practicing Lectio Divina, I recommend to people who use centering prayer or Christian meditation that that method can be a good way of beginning a period of Lectio Divina, of praying the scriptures. So I'm not in any sense opposed to these methods, but as you will gather from my conclusions, I do believe that the way that they are taught now needs to be augmented, needs to be developed, needs to continue to evolve and not simply remain static. Otherwise, I believe it runs the risk of becoming a technique which will intrigue and fascinate people, but which they will not necessarily be able to integrate into and incorporate into the rest of their spiritual lives. And let's look at each of these techniques and see how these both criticisms and suggestions can be lived out. Centering prayer, again as we described here, is associated with three Cistercian abbots, particularly these days with the writings of Father Thomas Keating and Father Basil Pennington. And to be very succinct about this, those who practice this are encouraged to spend about 20 minutes twice a day reciting a sacred word or sacred phrase. And very often at the end of this period of 20 minutes, one can use the Lord's Prayer as a way of coming back from the quiet and silence that the method is intended to provide. It is an apophatic and, as we've seen, an anti-iconic. It is not associated with particular meditations on mysteries or other things, form of meditation. It is non-discursive, as we have seen the Jesus Prayer also is. But one of the things, if you drop down to the material which I have downloaded from the website and which is in a smaller font, is that very often, or almost always, the phrase or word that is used is very brief, extremely brief, just a couple of syllables. Apparently this is particularly favored by those who practice centering prayer, and I think it's important for us to note that this represents a restriction that does not exist in the Jesus Prayer tradition, the Rosary tradition, the tradition of John Cassian, or the other fathers that we've seen before. There's a very great willingness to use multiple words, short phrase, but short understood as not excessively long. It can be one sentence. It can be an invocation that is the fully grammatical statement of prayer to the Lord, rather than feeling that it needs to be as brief as a single word. One has the sense in this almost exclusive focus on a single word that there is a desire to emulate the mantra tradition, which is more characteristic of the Christian meditation tradition of John Mayne, which we'll look at in just a couple of minutes. Please take a look at the recommendations that are offered here, again taken from a Centering Prayer website, and which are fairly typical, emphasizing the possibility or the necessity for using the Word as a way of remaining in silent presence to the Lord, using the Word as a way of letting go of or even pushing out distracting thoughts. It's not, again, intended to be used as a way of focusing on particular thoughts or concepts. As is the case with Christian meditation of the John Mayne variety, I believe one of the things that is often neglected is that the Trappist abbots who recommended and encouraged and first taught this technique were themselves men who every day prayed the full liturgy of the hours. This is a practice that makes sense in a context where one is already being surrounded and enfolded by the liturgical prayer of the church. The people who practiced and wrote about this were praying 150 psalms every week or every 2 weeks, depending upon the practice of their community. And so their lives were constantly full of the Word of God. So rather like what we saw in the case of the Byzantine liturgy, it makes sense that one would want to have a way of letting go of images, letting go of words, so as to be able to step out of that very cataphatic experience of the very long experience of the Liturgy of the Hours, to which one would be canonically obliged and to which one would be faithful periodically through the use of this kind of monologistic prayer. But what if you teach this technique to someone who has never heard of the Liturgy of the Hours, who doesn't know the scriptures, whose life is not surrounded by or enfolded by a liturgical practice or an experience of community or a familiarity with sacred text from which they can gently move back and forth in a kind of a healing rhythm? What if all one does is teach an apophatic, imageless prayer technique to someone whose mind is already somewhat devoid of the scriptures? Is that necessarily the very best way of teaching them spirituality? My own suggestion is that this kind of prayer, whether centering prayer or the Christian meditation of John Mayne, is very helpful and very useful, but it needs to be integrated into a context where the person is not only doing this apophatic, imageless prayer, but is also periodically cycling through and experiencing the richness of the liturgy, the richness of the biblical text. In that context, this kind of prayer can be very useful and very helpful. But unfortunately, I fear that sometimes the way it's taught does not emphasize or require or even urge the importance of developing this other, more cataphatic pole to one's prayer life. And those who are familiar with centering prayer groups and centering prayer teaching should feel free to communicate back to me their own experience of the degree to which this kind of prayer is encouraged to be interrelated with and not superior to or not taking the place of liturgical prayer. Let's drop down then to the Christian meditation of John Mayne. The difference between centering prayer and Father John Mayne's method is that Father John Mayne was trained in the Hindu tradition originally, and so he felt very comfortable using the term mantra to describe the prayer word or prayer phrase. And of some interest is the fact that in the Christian meditation tradition which he sponsored, there is a very strong emphasis on the use of a prayer word or prayer phrase that is not in the language of the person who is praying. A very common, almost universal recommendation is to use the Aramaic word Maranatha, come Lord, as a way of praying. Now, bear in mind that this is very different from John Cassian, very different from the Jesus prayer, and indeed different from centering prayer, because all of those forms of prayer use the vernacular. They use in prayer the words we address to God. And so one is using in one's experience of letting go of images, letting go of words, an invocation, a way of entering into the presence of God that uses the same language that we normally use in speaking to God as Abba, which is, of course, what Jesus himself invited us to do. John Mayne has taken the Hindu notion of a Sanskrit prayer phrase, which is what is used in the Hindu tradition. One's guru would give one a mantra, the meaning of which one does not need to know, and which usually involves the invocation of one or several deities in the Hindu pantheon, and one would simply recite that mantra as a series of syllables that allow the mind to become quieted down. Well, clearly John Mayne is not using Sanskrit, and he's not, strictly speaking, using the Hindu method, but he does seem to have been very oriented towards using words in prayer that are on a language different from the language one ordinarily uses in prayer. And this represents a fundamental difference from the tradition of Cassian and the Hesychastic tradition of the East, and as we've seen, the tradition of Jesus, the Jesus prayer. That isn't to say that it cannot be a good or a useful thing. But here again, I would strongly emphasize the need to encourage those who practice this to have the other pole of their spiritual lives well filled out, so that they are not just doing apophatic prayer, so that there is a regular involvement in communal experience of the Word, of the sacrament, of rejoicing in an experience of the Christian mysteries, of allowing oneself to be filled with images and words and chant and, if possible, incense and all of the use of the senses, so that this periodic stepping into letting go of images, letting go of words, stepping past the senses can be part of an ongoing rhythm of deepening union with God. I would also point out that although the particular Swami who taught John Mayne was perfectly happy with the idea of Christians using a mantra, this is not universally the case in the Hindu tradition. And I think one needs to be very careful about using a word taken from another tradition. In other words, the word mantra, which is a term that is used in Hindu religion to describe a specifically Hindu practice, and imagining that one can mean the same thing by it, or even an equivalent thing by it in the Christian tradition. I'm a little leery of the use of the word mantra, because I think it presupposes a much deeper understanding of Hindu tradition than most people who would practice this kind of prayer would necessarily have. So, again, it is used. I think one has to be careful in ecumenical dialogue with other traditions to respect them enough to use one's own vocabulary and one's own terminology, and not try to claim an equality of practice or understanding that may require deeper study and dialogue before making those kinds of equivalences. So, against this background, I think both of these practices can be very useful, a very important part of one's spiritual practice, but I think we have had enough experience now of the historical development of this tradition to realize that these practices probably do need to be augmented and developed by restoring and recovering a pole of cataphatic experience that is also recommended to the practitioners of these forms of monologistic prayer. And I would also like to suggest that I hope there can be a greater openness and flexibility to the use of alternate words or phrases, perhaps drawn from the scriptures, perhaps more regularly invoking the name of the Lord Jesus if one's oriented towards hesychasm, that can allow one to recover something of the more ancient and authentic monastic tradition that we have studied in relationship to the Desert Fathers and Evagrius Ponticus.